Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. God bless you. It's great to be coming to you through a video here. Good morning. We're so blessed that you're with us. What powerful worship. Isn't God great? Would you, for a moment, just lift your hands to heaven and just thank Him? God, we thank You. We praise You for all You've done, all the healing, all the miracles, all the signs and the wonders that You're releasing. We thank You for Your intervention, Lord, in Israel, in the nations of the world, in America, and in our own lives right here in Alaska. Hallelujah. I have a powerful word to preach to you, and so I'm going to ask you if you would, would you stand up on your feet, please, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Now, I've made a shift to using the New Living Translation, but there are times like today where the New Living Translation just fell short for me. So I've gone back and forth with the New Living Translation and the NIV. So this is the New Living Translation, usually, but today it's the New International Version. Okay, so New International Version, to be clear. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. All right, here we go. Let's go. The end of all things is near. Therefore, and when you see therefore, you have to ask what it's therefore. So the end of all things is near as a result of that. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply. Would you say that? Love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oops. Offer hospitality one to another without grumbling. Verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Open to a feet of light upon our path. We ask that You, God, would release Your power right now. All those listening, all those in the sanctuary, all those on Spotify, all those on YouTube and Facebook, around the world potentially, we ask that You would move in power, God, through this time, that You would move in power through this text, that You would anoint these lips of clay once again, that faith would be burned in the hearts of Your people, that we would never be the same as a result of this text. This church would never be the same as a result of this message. We thank You and we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, can you give a big amen? Amen. Take a moment to turn to the person on the right and say, this is going to be good. Go ahead and tell them. And then you may be comfortably seated. We've passed out notes already, but if you still need notes, go ahead and lift your hands. Lift a hand and they'll bring that to you. I believe we stumbled into a series, I've not made it official, but it seems like there's just such an intensity around the world of what's taking place. I mean, the Ezekiel Coalition seems to be coming together there in Israel, and we're praying for them and believing God and even fasting for God's intervention there. And to quote my beloved friend, Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth, the next thing to happen in God's time clock of prophetic fulfillment is the rapture of the church. And in light of that, you have to ask, my God, where am I? What's happening? What's going on? We are clearly in the end times. You say, well, Pastor, hasn't the church always said that? Absolutely. And write in your notes, Every Christian at every age has believed that they're living at the end of time. So really the end time started when Jesus was crucified. That was the end of time really from there on. So Jesus' crucifixion and Jesus' resurrection marked the church age and the end times. And he said, behold, I'm coming back. And so the church has constantly looked for his return, but it seems like there's just been such a delay. Yeah, there has been a couple thousand years. You say, well, why would there be such a delay? Well, there's a reason for that. The early church is aware, and we're aware here at King's, and I'm going to make you aware if you're not aware of it, that the Father is the only one that possessed the knowledge of when the end would come. Nevertheless, in every era, we must conduct ourselves, as if it were the end, because it could be. This could be the last day that you're on the earth. This could be the last moment that you're, the last church service. This could be your last church service. Could be my last church service. Wow. I mean, that's intense. You say, well, what if it isn't? Well, if it isn't, then you've been given grace to serve God and live for him another day. I love what one pastor and preacher said. He said, you live like he's coming at any moment. You live like he's coming at any moment, but you plan like he's not coming in your lifetime. And that's how we should be. And that's how the church should be. So at every age, believers, those who believe in Christ, have been looking for his imminent soon return. And so I've always felt in my personal life, I've always felt like, dude, something's gonna happen during my lifetime. I want you to raise your hand if you've ever felt that way. You felt like something is gonna happen in my lifetime. Like there's just this sense of anticipation, this ominous feel in your heart. Yeah, many have felt that way. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit. Why has God delayed? I heard somebody say, well, I wish he would come back already. The honest truth is, I don't want him to come back. My heart's ready for him to come back right now. But we just got in our new building. I'd like to fill it over and over and over and over. I feel like anybody feel like you just got started? I feel like I just got started. I'm not ready to. Now, granted, the end is really the beginning, and I've preached to you that this is not the end. When he returns and we get raptured, that's not going to be the end. But clearly, we need to live our lives that way. There is this delay. And 2 Peter, I'll read it to you, verse 9, says, the Lord, and this is a New Living Translation, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, that's to return, or to be slow about bringing any of his promises, as some think. No. He's being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So why is he being delayed? Why are things delayed? Because he's wanting a harvest of souls. He's longing for men and women and children to come to receive salvation through repentance and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The delay is that there's thousands, there's millions of people that still need to come to Christ. Verse 10 of 2 Peter 3 goes on to say, but the day of the Lord will come as an unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire. And the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment so that the godless could repent. Every Christian in every age has longed for his return, but has been delayed because God longs for a harvest. But clearly the end is near. I've entitled this message, Marks of the End Time Church. And I've preached from this text before, but clearly, the Spirit of God has directed me to bring it to you today. Marks of the end time church. You could say it another way. Characteristics of the end times church found in 1 Peter chapter 4. And so the enemy would want to destroy us individually and the church. So Peter shares three areas or three characteristics or three marks that each person should have. And not just each person, but the entire church. So three marks of the end time church. Are you ready? Roman numeral 2. The first mark of the end time church is found in verse 7, which the NIV says the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. The New Living Translation doesn't quite say it like I want it to, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. The end of the world is coming soon. I like that part. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. It's a little bit different. In your notes, a mark of the end time church is a praying church, a praying people. You need to be a person of prayer. I need to be a person of prayer, and I endeavor to. The church needs to be a church that prays. The end time church is a praying church. And look at your notes again. We must be alert and sober-minded, having his wisdom and being spiritually alert. There is so much that's out there through social media, so much that's out there to rob from you and to get you distracted, to get you off your center, off your purpose. God wants us to be alert, to be sober-minded so that you can pray. There are many things that'll intoxicate you to keep you from praying. If you understood, if we understood the hour in which we live, this whole place would be filled and we would have for prayer at 7 a.m. and the whole place would be filled over and over and over again. People would be begging, Pastor, have another prayer meeting. Have another prayer meeting, because prayer is that important. I mean, think about that, Peter. Listen, Peter understood about prayer. Peter understood about prayer because in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember Peter in the garden? Jesus says, what does he say to him? He says, tarry, pray with me for an hour. And he couldn't. They fell asleep. Pray that you don't enter into temptation. He not only entered into temptation, Peter did, as did the others, but he actually fell away. He denied the Lord. So he understands prayer is very important because the enemy's coming like a thief. He's coming to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But we need to be a people of prayer. We need to be a people that are alert, sober-minded, self-controlled. Self-controlled. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, he says this to define self-control. Listen to this. Therefore, with minds that are alert, he's saying it again, and fully sober. I want you to say that. Fully sober. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Paul says, don't be drunk. There is something about being sober. And I don't mean sober as in not intoxicated by drugs or alcohol. People have been intoxicated by money. People can be intoxicated by relationship. People can be intoxicated by all kinds of things. And the word says, don't be intoxicated. Don't be drunk. Clearly, don't be drunk with alcohol. Don't be intoxicated with marijuana and cannabis. Don't live a life of intoxication. But aside from medication and drugs, you can be intoxicated with self. Oh my goodness. God is looking for a people who will pray. The end of all things is near. The world is coming to an end. Therefore, pray. Wow. Wow. Be alert. Don't be intoxicated. Prayer is so important. So very important. And if you don't have that in your life, you need to add it. Come on, how many of you could pray some more? These are the marks of the end time church, marks of an end time people. They pray. Come on, raise your hand if God, you want God to help you pray more. God, help us to pray more. It's a wonderful thing. This morning you prayed, corporately we prayed. It's a part of our liturgy and our service. We pray corporately. It's not something that we just open in prayer and close in prayer. Prayer is throughout all our entire service. And I visited our life groups over this past week and saw prayer mingled into the life group. It's the way it should be. And it's a beautiful thing when a church and a people begin to understand full voice prayer, powerful, fervent prayer. Some of you, when you first came here, you couldn't open your mouth to pray, but look at you now. Look at you now, full voice, lifting your voice with a fervent heart to pray. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of a church that prays. And we are that, but we're going to grow and pray even more. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? Hallelujah. The second mark, or the second aspect, the second characteristic of the end time church and end time people is not that they just pray, but they love. They're a loving church. Everybody say a loving church. A loving church. That comes from verse 8. I'll read it to you. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. Deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. This is really two parts to this. Deep love. The Greek here, the Koine Greek in the New Testament, the Greek meaning and what it's saying there, it's love that's fully stretched. It's love that goes the extra mile. It's love that stretches out to help. Do you love that way? I'm challenged as I was preparing and studying and praying. And even now, I'm challenged to say, I could love better. We could all love on a deeper level. Sometimes our love is so surface. Sometimes our love is lip service. No, God wants us to be fully stretched, to stretch, to go all the way to love. There's something about a church that loves deeply like that. And you know what? You are like that. King's is like that. When I travel or when our guests come and when people come and visit us, I frequently hear, I've never felt such love and acceptance in any church I've ever been in. That's a beautiful thing. But how many of you know we're going to go to another level? We're going to love people. We're going to go the extra mile. We're going to love. We're going to deeply stretch out and sacrifice and love people. Can you say amen? The second part of this is love covers a multitude of sins. That's found in verse 8. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Have you ever heard that before? Covers a multitude of sins. It's in various places in Scripture. And in Proverbs 10, verse 12, it says this. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Love that does not focus on the bad, but love that focuses on the good. Let me read to you James, the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 19. Brethren and sistren, I'll throw that in, brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's powerful. So literally what happens is James is talking about the one that would love someone. So come on, how many of you know someone that's not serving God today? Come on, they were maybe in church a month ago, but now you don't see them. I'm not saying they're necessarily in sin, but maybe they are. We reach out to people, love them, and when we bring them back, and if you know someone that needs to be confronted, you should lovingly confront them, you who are spiritual. The Bible talks about that. Some of you just need to confront yourself because you would get pulled into the sin that you're confronting that person of, or maybe not do it in a right way. You who are spiritual, Paul says, should restore such a one. And the way that we do that is by reaching out and loving them. You know, somebody said, I don't want to judge people. Wait, listen, you need to lovingly confront what's wrong. If you don't lovingly confront things, you're going to have Satan in your life. And if you don't lovingly confront things in other people, then what kind of a loving brother are you? I mean, if someone's going through difficulty and they've fallen away, thank God for someone who would come and love them enough to turn them back and bring them back to the Lord and back to the house of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talking about love, defining love, and I've said this before, you want to grow in your love, you say, well, I really love people. Go take 1 Corinthians 13 and write it out and see how loving you actually are, because we'll find out that all of us fall short of what real love is. But verse 5, 1 Corinthians 13, 5, love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, it's not provoked, it thinks no evil. Then in Matthew 18, verse 15, we're talking about the marks of the end time church from 1 Peter 4. The end time church is a praying church. The end time church is a loving church. The end of all things is near, therefore pray and love deeply. Love covers a multitude of sins. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Not you and him and Facebook. Not you and him and Twitter. Not you and him and Instagram. Not you and him and all the influence that you have at the work and maybe at church. You don't do that. That's not what it says. You and him alone. Everybody say alone, alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he'll not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word should be established. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to come up here. I've actually had this happen. I said, but I need to talk on Sunday. I'm like, oh, yeah, so-and-so is in sin. And so if you could just get, I actually had that happen. If you could give me the mic, I need to just tell it to the church. I said, no, bro, that's not how that works. Tell it to the church is bring it to authority, bring it to leadership, bring it to one of the pastors, one of the ministers, and then from there, it's confronted in the right way. Not here. We're not calling out people's sin here. That's never going to happen. It can happen, but there can be a public correction and rebuke if one of our pastors fell, God forbid, if one of that happened, then there would be a public correction and declaration, as is happening in some other churches in America, even as we speak. Allegations are made. They made a public statement before the church, and that's working its way out. There is times for that. But it's not talking about that specifically here. It's talking about you confront a brother, then bring somebody else, a brother or sister, then you bring somebody else, and then after that, you bring it to leadership and have them help you. And if he refuses to hear the church, it goes on to say in verse 17, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. My God. In other words, you don't have any fellowship with him. And it's not that you're angry and you do it mean. You do it so that he would come to his senses. All right. So in summary here, you confront sin. You love people enough to confront sin. You love the sinner. You hate the sin and you lovingly confront them. The third mark. Everybody say the third mark. The third mark. Okay, what's the first one? The mark of the end time church is, what's the first one? A church that prays, a praying church, a praying people. What's number two? A loving church, a people that love deeply. It's stretch. Love covers a multitude. And then number three, offer hospitality without grumbling. Look at this. Offer hospitality without grumbling. Verse 9, offer hospitality one to another without grumbling. So the pastor or Pastor Tammy asks you to open your home for a life group, and you'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. But in your heart, you're just doing it because she asked you. There's grumbling going on, grumbling. Or maybe you're doing something without the right heart. We need to love people deeply, and we need to offer hospitality without grumbling. There's got to be an openness to reach out to people. You know what doesn't happen many times now in churches? And I pray that it's happening here, but the truth is I don't know all that much whether it is or it isn't. You would know. When's the last time you took somebody out to lunch that you've never, you know, you meet them in church, whatever, and you say, you know, would you like to go to lunch? You invite somebody out to lunch. When's the last time you went with somebody that you don't really know and you go and you buy them a cup of coffee? Or you spend time with them and you get to know them maybe out in our beautiful lobby out there? Would you please do that? Would you please get to know each other? Because that's kind and that's gracious. And so oftentimes with the way our culture is, people are isolated and they're alone. And then you have a group of people that offer hospitality, but they're doing it so they can ingratiate themselves. They're doing it so they can get you a part of their downline. I want to sell you some toilet paper or some Amway or some magnets or some vitamins. Listen, I thank God for multi-level marketing, but it needs to be done right. And if you look at everybody as an aspect of your downline, then that's not so good. When you offer, what happened to the hospitality? When you offer hospitality to somebody just because you want to care for them. How about that? That's a novel idea. How about we love people because they're people? You missed a great place to say amen. Let me try that again. How about we love people because they're people? Amen. Amen. That's what this is talking about. Real, genuine hospitality. And you know, that's a foreign idea. This Christian concept here of offering hospitality and serving. A serving church is really the next one here. Hospitality is important. And Hebrews 13 says that angels unaware, keep loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality, Hebrews 13, 2. Hospitality to strangers, for in doing so, some have entertained angels without realizing it. I could tell you stories the rest of the morning, the rest of the afternoon, on into the evening, about how God used people, how God sent people, messengers, angels, and they ministered to them and they brought answers and they brought solutions to them and they just were kind and gracious to them. It could be that we have an angel among us somewhere here. How are you with your hospitality? All right, let's review. The end time church, marks of an end time church, is a praying church. A loving church. All right, the third final one. I was a little confused there for a second. The third final one, to be very clear, is a serving church. What kind of a church? A serving church. And as I started to say but didn't finish, the first century church, to say that they were to serve is absolutely a foreign concept. Because in the first century, you don't serve anybody. The end thing was how many servants you had. The end thing was, how many slaves did you have? How many people do you have serving you? That's the end time, that's the New Testament understanding of what was in the culture, the Roman culture. How many servants do you have? And here, Peter says, it's not about how many servants you have, it's whether you serve. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. The greatest among you is the servant of all. I mean, that's intense. And this comes from verse 10. God has given each of you, this is a New Living Translation, given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. But I prefer the NIV, once again, in this case, that each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. I like that better than the New Living Translation, because God's grace is released through your gift as you serve others. Now think about this. If I wasn't here preaching to you, you wouldn't hear this word. Okay, well, somebody else would be preaching. Okay, I understand. But if they weren't using their gifts, you wouldn't be receiving God's power. God's grace is the most powerful force in all the universe and all the multiverse and any verse. God's grace is more powerful than anything. And when I use my gifts that he's given me, it releases God's power. Come on, there's people that's serving all over the place today. We have greeters. God bless our greeters and our ushers and our security. God bless the coffee people. Come on, have you ever had a bad cup of coffee? Yeah, they need lessons. Amen. These guys have been trained out there to pull incredible shots of espresso so that you can enjoy it. There's training so that they can release that gift to serve you, to give you a great cup of coffee, and some of you have been touched by the Lord as you drank it. Can I get an amen? God's gifts released through you releases God's power. So if you decide to not use your gift, by the way, you're not the one that got the gift. God gave it to you. And if you decide to not use it, you literally shut down and limit God's grace being released in the church and in your home. Oh my. I went to breakfast with a beloved brother, and he was sharing his testimony and talking about how he's got such a heart for the lost, and it's a beautiful thing to see him being used by God in the community. He shared with me in a very humble way that he led 15 people to Christ last month, one-on-one outside the church. What would happen if he decided not to do that? What would happen if he decided not to use that gift of the evangelist and have a burden for people? Then those 15 people, maybe one of them wouldn't live after the next month. And then what would happen? They wouldn't go to heaven. So you see, your gifts, your talent, your your expression of service releases God's power. Everyone is using their God-given gifts to serve others. That's what end-time church is. It's not just a praying church. It's not just a loving church. It's a serving church. I'm so thrilled about transformations and what God is doing there. I'm so thrilled about those of you that are going door to door and canvassing for every home for Christ to get the gospel into every home in the state of Alaska. I'm so encouraged by all those that are serving behind the scenes, even recording this message right now. Without you recording this, people wouldn't receive the message. It's so powerful. Come on, those of you online right now, use gifts to serve people. Your gifts are used to serve. That's what they're for. They're not to line your pocket. Some of you have these amazing gifts and you just do it so you can make money. That's not the case. Praise God, you can make money. And we need to work. And we all need money. But use gifts to release God's grace in the church and in the community. Can you say an amen? Amen. And we're to use gifts for God's grace to be expressed. And we're being faithful. And then Peter goes on to see God's gifts in two ways, and this is verse 11. It says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. So in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. He sees these gifts being speaking gifts, and action, or words and deeds. And I'm so convicted at this next point. Speak with the consciousness, with an awareness that you're God's mouthpiece. You're God's mouthpiece. I want you to say that. Say, I am God's mouthpiece. Yes. Are you? I've allowed the enemy to use my mouth before. And when I've studied this and I'm reading this, I'm realizing I need to be more aware that I'm God's mouthpiece. Come on, when you're irritated, when things don't happen the way that you want, when somebody doesn't follow through like you hoped they would. You know, when you got mad and you raised your voice and you got in the flesh, were you being God's mouthpiece when you tore someone down? Come on, come on, come on, come on, repent. We're supposed to be God's mouthpiece. My God. Raise your awareness. God, help us to realize that when we're speaking, we would speak as a very oracle of God, as you said in your word. Raise our awareness to speak the very words of God, to encourage people, build people up, not to tear them down. The devil does enough to tear people down. You build people up. Come on, build people up. Come on, turn to the person on the right or left and say, hey, you know what? You look good today. Praise God. Turn to the person on the left and say, did you lose 20 pounds? Did you? You look fresh. Go ahead, tell them. Use your words to build people up. The second thing is serving in God's strength. These are deeds. God will give you strength to serve. I have seen many, many times where I didn't have the strength to continue, didn't have the strength to go on. I mean, I just felt like I wanted to crawl up in a ball and pray. And yet, out of obligation and the grace of God upon my life, I'd get up and move forward. It is at those times that I've seen displays of God's power like no other. When we're weak, his strength is made perfect. The Apostle Paul got a word from the Lord. He said, when you're weak, your strength is made perfect. If you're feeling weak, just pray and move forward anyway. And there's certainly wisdom in getting enough sleep and eating right and all of those things. But God will give you strength to serve. Come on, lift a hand to heaven and say, God, give me strength to serve. Come on, God, give me strength. Lift two hands to heaven and say it. God, give me strength to serve you. Give me strength to serve. Go on, tell them. Give me strength to serve you. Hallelujah. Amen. And serving in the church is so very important. You know how many, there's hundreds of people that serve around here. That's how we're able to do what we're doing. It's not just a handful. It's hundreds of people. 80 some odd life groups, people serving all during the week, transformations and the King Slavic, and oh my goodness, so many things happening. Our media, oh, the worship team, birthday of the King. Come on.
It requires dozens and dozens and dozens of people. The Glow Show a few weeks back. Come on, it requires dozens of people serving. That is a mark of an end time church. It's a praying church, a praying people, is a loving church, a people that love deeply, that stretch deeply. Thirdly, it's a serving church. So how are you doing? If the church depended upon our growth and what God's called us to do to reach this community depended upon you, and you were the one it depended on, how would we be doing?
Oh, Pastor, did you have to say that? Yes. Yes. Some of you have been along for the ride. And don't be offended and leave. Just be encouraged and move forward and start serving. If you haven't been to Discover Track, get to the Discover Track. Get in a life group, perhaps. Get connected in some way. Come early. Come to prayer. 7 a.m. in the morning. 7 days, 6 days a week. It's at 7. We have a prayer meeting 8 days a week. 8 days a week? It's not like a Beatles song. 8 days a week. 7 days a week, we have a prayer meeting. 6 days a week, it's at 7 a.m. On Sunday morning, it's at 8. You could come. You say, I don't know how to pray. Exactly. So come. And you'll learn. Prayer is caught more than taught. Get in a place of prayer. And we'll open more and more prayer times. And then in January, after the holidays, we'll have 21 days of prayer and fasting. And lastly, as I bring this message to a conclusion, in everything, God is to be praised. That's the final verse there. God is to be praised in everything we're doing. Won't you be a part of the end time church? Won't you be an end time disciple? The end of all things is near. Therefore, pray, love, serve. Be a part of that. These are marks of an end time church. Come on, let's ask God to help us. Would you lift your hand to heaven? Holy Spirit, come. Make this message real for your people. We commit to be a people of prayer. Come on, won't you tell them? If it's real and in your heart, sincerely, tell God you're going to be a person of prayer. Lord, help me to be a person of prayer. Oh, God, I'm going to go the extra mile in prayer. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a person of prayer. Be a person of fasting. And not only that, I'm going to be a person that loves. Come on, ask God to help you to do that. Help us to be a people that love, to love one another deeply from the heart, that we would fully stretch, that we would go above and beyond to love people, that we'd offer hospitality without grumbling. Forgive us, Lord, for where we've served grumbling and where we've offered hospitality grumbling. God, help us to do it with the right heart. And Lord, we pray that you would make us each and every one. The greatest among you is the servant of all, that you would make each and every one of us servants. Lord, that we would serve each other, not just ourselves. Gifts and talents, anointing, calling, purpose, all for the sake of the house of the Lord and to see your kingdom come in power. Holy Spirit, come now. I pray for healing for those who've not been loved like they should have been. I pray, God, that you would help us. You have helped us. Help us as a church to be a church that prays, a church that loves, and a church that serves. Come on, would you say that with me? Oh, God, help us to be a church that prays, a church that loves, and a church that serves. One more time. Oh, God, help us to be a church that prays, a church that loves, and a church that serves. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you put your best hand clap together for God? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you the most important question that anybody can ever ask you. The most important question that anybody can ask you is this. If you died today, now God forbid this would be your last day, but if it was your last day, would you go to heaven? I'm going to invite you right now, all across this sanctuary, all those online, all those under the sound of my voice, to take a good look at your heart. Are you right with God? Have you given your life to Jesus? Are you living for him? Maybe you gave your life to him, but you're not living for him now. You have compromise. The Bible's clear that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And here at Kings, we take time
in just about every single service to ask you this question, because it is the most important question that you could be asked. Are you right with God? If you're not right with God, I implore you, I plead with you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to him right now. You say, how do I do that? You simply believe. Simple, elementary, childlike faith. Just believe in your heart. You say, well, I believe a little bit, but I don't believe maybe some other things. Take the measure of faith that you have and receive Christ today. He died on a cross for your sin and for mine. On the third day, he rose again, fulfilling over 300 Old Testament scriptures about the one who would come to take away the sins of mankind. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. He says in scripture in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So all across this place, heads bowed, people praying, you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, or you want to make a recommitment to him, or maybe you're just not sure and you want to be sure. You want to give your life to Jesus first time, you want to recommit, or you just want to be sure. On the count of three, as an acknowledgement of that, would you raise your hand and then we're going to pray all together. On the count of three, would you do it? One, two, three. God bless you. Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. You want to be included, then raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you today. All right. Pray this with me. Would you all stand? Can we all stand? Stand up and pray with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father. You ready? Come on, out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place, to rise again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, and come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray for you. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come. Fill each and every man and woman, boy and girl. Let your power come. Break off any bondage. Fill them full of your spirit now. Enable them to love you and live for you and love your word and serve you, to pray, to love, to serve. God, thank you for what you've done today. Thank you for these who've given their lives to Christ for the first time, for recommitment, or if they just were trying to make sure. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, amen. If you gave your heart to Jesus, you recommitted your life, or you just wanted to be sure, on the screen, there is a number, 907-357-2065. Just text SAVED to that number, and then we will follow up with you and help you grow in the things of God. If you don't text, then you can go ahead, or you don't want to text, or you want to talk to somebody, stop off at the Next Steps desk. That's the desk out front. It's got Next Steps right in front of it. And that's where you find out what the next steps are. We love you so much. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Praise the Lord.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.